has joined.
Brandy
has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Morning.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yadula Chimin Ha. Kabel Rinat Amhasadvenu Paharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Hudpa Kivavat Shamrem Nungimel Dalit Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Saditaf Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Et kuf bet tet nunayan. Yachid geye lamcha pene zokre kidushata. Yud gimalamet e zayan kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushmati akatenu yodeya talumot. Shin Kufav, Sadi Yud Tav. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. Now we will do L'Shem Yechud. L'Shem Yechud, Kudshabarichu, Vishkin David, Kilu Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu Urchimu, Leakta, L'Shem, Yudhe Bavave, Beyechuda, Shalim, B'Shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah, vayihino amadunai Elohinu aleinu maasei yadenu kunanei aleinu maasei yadenu kunaneihu. Today is the first aliyah for the parashah of Vayeshev. 11 verses in this first Aliyah. They come from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 11. The number 11 connects to the Ketoret, which is connecting us to becoming closer to Hashem. The number 11 also connects to the 10 Sephirot plus the negative system. As we know, Hashem created both the 10 Sephirot and the negative system. And so the number 11 brings us closer to Hashem through the attack of the negative system. This is sometimes very difficult for people to understand. Verse 1. Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Medure Aviv Eretz Kenan. Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef Ben Sheva Esrei Shana Haya Roe Et Echav Betzon Vehu Na'ar Et Pnei Bilcha V'et Pnei Zil Panesei Aviv Vayave Yosef et Dibachtam Ra'el Avihem Vayisrael Ahavet Yosef Mikol Banav Kiven Zekunim Ulo Viasa Lo Ketonet Pasim. The last two words, Ketonet Pasim, gets mistranslated as the many-colored coat. It's actually a protection shield. And there's an acronym in the word Pasim. Potiphar. And I forget the other three. But they represent the four aspects, the four negative perceptions that Joseph went through on his journey to be the king of Egypt.
Vayiru echav ki oto ahav avihem mikol echav vayisnu oto elo yachlu dabero lishalom. Vayachalom Yosef halom Vayaged le'echav vayosifu od seno oto. Vayomer alehem shimuna achalom hazeh asher halamti. Vehine anachnu me'almin alumim. Betoch ha-sadeh, v'hine kama alumati, v'gam nitzava, v'hine tesu b'na alumotechem, v'atishkata v'na la'alumati. Vayomru lo echav, hamalo imlo, aleinu imashol, timshol banu vayosefu, o tzino, o to, al halomotav, v'al devarav, vayachalom, o Acher vasaper oto le'echa vayomer hine chalamti shalom od vehine hashemesh v'hayareach v'yachad asar kochavim mishtachavim li Vaisaper el aviv el echav Vaigar bo aviv vayomer lo ma Hachalom haze asher halamta Tabo navo ani veimcha Viachecha Lehishtacha ot lecha arta vayikanu bo echav yaviv shamar et hadavar. As you listen to the English translation, I'd like you to remember what we studied last night, that every dream has an aspect of a lie. So as we read this translation, look for the lie in the dream. Verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. Another translation for Vayeshev is he sat, or he settled. And our sages tell us that it's very important to realize this. As long as you are alive, as long as you are taking a breath, even if it's coming through a ventilator, you have the necessity to continue your spiritual growth. You cannot think that your growth is over, that you've done all the work. That's what the sages are criticizing Jacob for, that he settled in the land of Canaan, meaning my work is over. I'm just going to enjoy the pleasures of the world that is coming in this world. And even in the world that is coming, we have the responsibility to continue our spiritual growth. The second verse. These are the generations of Jacob. When Joseph was 17 years old, being a shepherd, he was with his brothers with the flocks, and he was a lad, and was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought evil tales about them to their father. He was a lad. He wanted to be important. His brothers were older. His brothers were bigger. His brothers were more educated. He wanted to be important. So he tells stories to his father about his brothers. Why was he with the sons of the handmaids? Because his other brothers were all the sons of Leah, and he was the only son of Rachel. And the sons knew that their mother was thought of as in a descendant position, so they kept away from him. And he felt that enmity, that pushing away. People have emotions, and they act on their emotions subconsciously. One of the aspects that the Torah tells us is that we need to bring our motivations for those emotions out into the light, into the open, so we can evaluate whether this motivation is proper. Even if you have a positive action, if your motivation was not correct, it's considered a negative action, except, of course, with a mitzvah, because the mitzvah is going to change your motivations. Verse 3. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a fine woolen coat. This fine woolen coat is a better translation than the coat of many colors, as we're normally used to seeing. But it also is not a correct translation. And do you really think that someone on the spiritual level of Joseph would love one of his sons better than his other sons? Even if he felt that, he would treat them the same. So why would he give Joseph a gift that he didn't give to his other sons? It does not make sense. It's not truly human. Yes, we have parents, and sometimes our parents have greater affinity with one child over another child. But even so, they make an effort to try and treat their children the same. This verse in the Torah does not make sense. And if it's not making sense, it's there to teach us a spiritual lesson. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him, and they could not speak with him peacefully. This is called sibling rivalry. It is a real emotion for children. Does it become permanent? That's what leads to family arguments at the Pesach dinner table, at the Seder. What leads to family arguments that keep families apart and provide great pain to the parents who observe their children fighting still as an adult. The fifth verse. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brothers, and they continued to hate him. And he said to them, "Listen now to this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the midst of the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves encircled it and prostrated themselves to my sheaf." Where is the lie? So his brothers said to him, "Will you reign over us, or will you govern us?" And they continued further to hate him on account of his dreams, on an account of his words. Will you reign over us, or will you govern us? That's an interpretation of the dream. But when it's asked as a question, it creates a blockage. Remember this when someone asks you to interpret their dreams. As a spiritual law, a spiritual teaching, the mind does not hear negatives. So when you say, I don't like chocolate cake, your mind did not hear the word do not or don't. Your mind heard, I like chocolate cake. Understand this spiritual level well. It's well known in the Chinese culture, in the Oriental culture. They rarely say no. They just don't answer. When you're negotiating with the Orient, and they say, and you say, will you take XYZ money for that item? And you don't hear an answer yes? The answer is no. Why are they so misdirecting? It's part of their culture. It's part of their level of spirituality. Remember, they are in from the East. And what does the East represent? Represents Tiferet. All things correlate. You just have to break through those aspects of the culture you were raised in and search for truth. Verse 9. And he again dreamed another dream, and he related it to his brothers. And he said, behold, I have dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun, the moon and 11 stars were prostrating themselves to me. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Will we come, I and your mother and your brothers, to prostrate ourselves to you to the ground? So his brothers envied him, but his father awaited the matter. It's also not an accurate translation. In other ways, it's usually translated as his father kept it in mind. Now, when Jacob was told that Joseph had died, did he keep the matter in mind? Did he still await the matter? Did he forget the dream? These are questions that one can ask about this first Aliyah. Does anyone have any questions? No one wants to know what the lies are? The second letter from the Ramban to the sun.
I would like to know what the lies are.
Me too.
I just couldn't unmute fast enough.
Okay. Well, the second dream, you should know the lies. Did this dream take place before Benjamin was born? Or after? If it takes place before Benjamin was born, it's interpreted as by Jacob that the moon and 11 stars would bow down. How many sons did Jacob have? If Benjamin was not yet born, and therefore Rachel was alive, how many stars are there to bow down to him? His father interpreted it as his father and his mother and 11 stars. Well, it's the sun and the moon, but there's no 11 suns, is there, at that moment? That's the lie. In the story of the sheaves, it says that the sheaves will encircle him. That a king doesn't let other people behind his back. There's never encircling, is there? You bow down to the face of the king, not to the back of the king. Is it all clear now?
Hanok, was the circle a symbol of unity?
The circle is always a symbol of unity.
So that was a hint to Jacob? I guess that's what I should have asked.
Well, it doesn't really say that Jacob interpreted this dream, only the one with the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Well, he never ceased grieving. And I think commentaries have said that was a sign that he did not accept the idea that Joseph was dead.
There are opinions to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another way of understanding it, and it's really a very tremendous spiritual lesson. The 10 sons put him in the pit. And then later they took him out of the pit and sold him to whichever caravan. I always get it mixed up, whether it was the Canaanites or the Ishmaelites. But they sold him to the caravan. How many are there? There were 10 sons involved in the transaction, correct? Whenever there's a minion of 10, who is among the minion? The Shekhinah is always among the minion. So when the 10 sons agreed and vowed not to tell their father, the Shekhinah was there and agreed to that statement. So it wasn't that Joseph could not send a letter to his father, "I'm still alive. Come get me out of this place." Joseph was always connected to the Shekhinah, because Joseph is at Kiriath for what?
The Sod.
For the Sod. He's a tzaddik, the righteous, which is Yesod. So Joseph and the Shekhinah are always unified. So it's the Shekhinah that kept Joseph from writing to his father. Because the Shekhinah had also vowed not to tell Joseph, not to tell Jacob. And this is why we can indicate that the circle is a lie. Because on the physical level, people do not bow to the back of the king.
Awesome.
Any other thoughts or comments? Questions?
It was really awesome. That was truly, truly awesome. Thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Marco.
You know, you talked about 11 sons. And Benjamin was not born, possibly, if it's before or after. But there was Dina, which was a soul, which she represents the Shekinah as well, because there was 12 souls of Jacob. And he hid her in the basket. So, you know, I don't know if there's a connection there or not. You know, male and female is always one.
And who is the soulmate? Who is the soulmate for Dina?
That was Shechem, but Shimon took her. Esau was also, she was supposed to be meant for Esau. Jacob hit her from Esau, which he should not have done, because it would have corrected. Esau's tikkun would have been corrected a lot sooner than where we are today.
That's right.
So does she play a part in this 11? I mean...
see, there's 70 faces to the Torah, so yes, it could be that she was the 11th. Except... In that generation, Shem is her soulmate who is not Jewish. Now, she has been raped. Excuse me. At this point, she has not been raped.
No, she hasn't. Mm-hmm.
So why does he hide her from Esau?
He doesn't want Esau to take her and marry her.
He doesn't want the relationship of becoming a father-in-law to Esau.
Mm-hmm.
It would change totally the relationship of the nations. Why did Esau go and marry the daughter of Ishmael? To create the connection between Ishmael and Edom. What is the plan of creation? Is the plan of creation for the three aspects, Ishmael, Edom, and Israel, to unify?
Yes.
I would beg to differ. The plan of creation is that Israel keep balance between the 70 nations, which would include Edom and Ishmael. But if they are so related, could they keep balance among the 70 nations or only among the two nations? I'm not saying what you are asking is incorrect. It's a very valid question, and it's a way of perceiving all of this. But we have to bring all aspects into our analysis. In order for it to be true, it has to work with everything, because Hashem is not incomplete. Hashem, whatever he does, applies to every human being. So we have to bring the Torah into the discussion. We have to bring all of these aspects together. And it's not easy to keep all of these different aspects in mind when we're developing our theories and our understandings.
Well, Ishmael repented. Ishmael did come back into balance, per se. When he was alive, he did, but Esau did not. We're still fighting that connection, that, and when the two sticks come together, and when they say the two sticks, is they're talking about Esau and Ishmael, or are they talking about Esau
when you talk about the two sticks, are you talking about the dream that's in one of the prophecies? I think it's Elisha or Ezra.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, the sages typically say that it's the unity of Ephraim, which is the 10 tribes, with Judah, the two tribes. I've not heard them say that it's a relation, a unification of Ishmael and...
Well, I'm thinking of the columns. I'm thinking of the three components of absolute, you know, the head.
No, I understand. Ishmael is also a left column. It's the right side of the left column. Ishmael is the brother of Isaac. Isaac represents the soul after the tikkun. Ishmael, in that discussion, would represent the body after the tikkun. That's when the body becomes corrected. But of course, we always think in terms of the body being female, not male.
Mm-hmm.
Ishmael did do teshuvah before he died, but it wasn't a complete teshuvah, or the Ottoman Empire would not have degraded the Jewish world. Otherwise, the modern day, the Arab nations would not be attacking the modern state of Israel. The teshuvah was not complete. But it is good thinking and may very well be true. Don't just accept my discussion. Think it through. Any other questions or thoughts or comments?
I don't know if this fits in, but what about the promise that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem?
That Yaakov would dwell in the
Japheth, you know, the three sons, with one of the three sons. It was one of the comments from one of the patriarchs.
No, that Yafet would dwell in the tents of Yaakov. That's correct.
Okay, and she always took that to mean Rome, Christianity, however you want to put it, modern day world would eventually become
Edom. Edom has two aspects. It has the head, and it has the body. The body is chaos. The head is the tikkun that has been corrected. That's why the head rolled into the cave of Machpelah, where it's buried.
Right.
But that's Edom. It's not Ishmael. Who are the children of Yafet? Who are the descendants of Yafet?
The Greek. I mean, the Greek and the Roman.
Right. And what is their approach? It's intellectual. Mm-hmm. The intellect is greater. The intellect needs to be in charge. If it's not logical, it's not true. So where does faith fit into that? Remember, the emotions have to be controlled. And when they are controlled, they are higher than the intellect. That's the world that is coming. I think we've said enough to think about for the one day. Not, but we are out of time. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful day. Shavua Tov. Two classes today. One's at 10:30 West Coast time, where we will continue our study of Hanukkah and the lighting kavanot. And the 3 o'clock class will be a study of the Psalm 91.
Shalom.